Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome to another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, the podcast where we talk about musicals and all the lessons that they have taught us and teach us every time we listen to them. I am your host, NC Weber. Here with me in the studio is none other than...
Miranda Selwood. Hello.
How are you, Miranda?
I'm well. I miss our friends, though.
Yeah.
I miss but Julie Eisenchager, and it's me, KB.
They'll be back. They'll be back eventually.
Eventually.
They'll stop having fun times without us.
That's the sad part.
But don't worry. We have an extra special, super great guest with us today, all the way from New York.
Oh, my gosh.
We have none other than Becky Ho or Rebecca Ho?
Yeah, go with Becky.
Becky! Hey, how are you, Becky?
I'm all right. How about you guys?
Pretty good. Now, do you or do you not want to talk about how things are in New York?
Yeah, I can. It's a little bit weird, honestly.
Quiet?
Weird how?
Quieter than usual?
Yeah, it's like without tourists right now, which is incredible. But I'm really loving the less foot traffic.
Yeah, okay.
Well, there is a sunny side to every situation.
Yeah.
I learned that from a musical. Do you know which one?
Are you talking about the sunny side that Broadway is closed down for the rest of the year?
No, that's the other side.
Oh, that's the situation.
That's the cloudy side.
Right, okay.
That is very upsetting.
It is.
So, Becky, you have brought us a musical that I have mentioned a few times on this show before, and it might be weird that I'm the one hosting this episode, but you have brought us The Band's Visit. Now, can you tell us why you like The Band's Visit?
I love The Band's Visit. I saw it in New York on Broadway. I saw the original cast, and it wasn't one that I was gunning to see in that season because I was like, I don't know if it's for me. It's just a bit... Yeah, but then I got really cheap tickets and I was like, you know what? Why not?
If you live in New York, I bet you say that a lot. You know what? Why not?
And so I saw it and I was completely blown away by it. I thought it was absolutely incredible. And then I was lucky enough that year to attend the Tony Awards because they had a student rush deal.
Nice.
And so like I slept outside of Radio City, got a student ticket. It was crazy. It was a crazy like 24 hours. And then I watched it sweep the Tonys and I was like, it definitely deserved it that season.
It did. It is actually one of only four shows that have won the Big Six, apparently.
We are talking too much about this musical. Oh, we need to talk more about Becky.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting carried away.
Okay, so Becky, you are currently studying in the MFA acting program at Columbia University. Now, you also live in New York, so you get to do all these crazy things like just like, oh, just spur of the moment, decide to go see the Tony Awards, whatever.
Hey, we did that.
It was not a spur of the moment.
It was less spurring.
Well, there was a few months of planning and a bit of saving involved.
Well, the student rush tickets were only made available the day before the Tony Awards.
Okay, so, well, you are still a good person then, I guess.
I guess. Shall we find out more about Becky?
I slept outside on the street for them.
Okay, yeah, you weren't that.
In my opinion, I earned them.
I won't hold it against you anymore. But let's get to know a little bit more about you. So now this is our patented getting to know you quiz.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
I do appreciate that the last few times you've gone like actually legit singing it and it's not like a parody anymore.
Well, you know, it ebbs and flows.
Okay, Becky, which musical character would other people compare you to?
Now, I asked my friend this because I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
And she said Penny from Hairspray and Lydia from Beetlejuice, to which I said those are two very different characters.
Yeah. Yeah. Which
are you a Gemini? Because that might no. Solve it. Oh, okay.
I think that, like, she said the energy of, like, Penny from Hairspray, and then, like, my sarcasm and cynicism from Lydia in Beetlejuice.
All right. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Well, which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
I would like other people to compare me to Eliza in Hamilton, because I think she's possibly the most heart-driven character there ever was.
Nice.
And, like, appears to be kind of soft on the outside when you first meet her, but she's completely firm in her beliefs, stands up for what she believes in, speaks out about it, and probably the most generous and selfless character that I know of to date.
Absolutely. Good answer.
That is well justified.
Yeah.
I think you should, you know, write a paper on that.
Or just go and do it. You're in New York. Anything can happen. So what's your dream role?
Oh, Eurydice in Hades Town.
Yay.
Yes, I need to play that girl.
You've made Zane so happy.
I'm very happy. I think that's our first Hades Town answer for dream role. So thank you very much. Yes.
Need to play that girl in my lifetime.
Well, what's your favorite Sondheim?
I actually haven't seen that many.
What?
Or listened to that. I know. It's kind of like sacrilegious amongst all my musical theater friends.
Maybe we can't do this. Maybe we can't do this episode after all.
I'm sorry, there's something wrong with the connection.
it was already 50-50 when you brought the band's visit, I think.
Now.
But I will say, I saw a production of Merrily We Roll Along, and I loved it.
Okay. Well, that's fine. It's just, that can be your favorite for now.
Merrily needs some more love in this question, I think. I think it does. So thank you.
Okay. Now that you have Miranda's seal of approval, I would like to know what your go-to shower song is.
Quite one. Honestly, it's whatever it is when I hit shuffle on my musical playlist. But
right. So you listen to music in the shower and sing along.
Yeah.
That's a mood.
Doesn't everyone?
I don't listen to music. I sing whatever's in my heart.
I am the music.
Yes.
Give free concerts every night.
You're welcome, my neighbors.
Exactly. But if I had to pick, quite possibly Requiem from Dear Evan Hansen, because it's just
cool.
A really great one to get that acoustics
that
going
sing.
In the shower.
That would sing in the shower in its own way.
And now for the final controversial question.
I'm so nervous.
You must delete one musical from existence. It cannot be Cats. Because Cats is already gone. It's already gone. We've killed it more than 9 times. And and I'm making the call that also Phantom and Love Never Dies, they're out. They've been killed. They've been killed too many times.
Take all the easy answers.
Yes. You must hurt yourself to answer this question.
We're going to have like a Andrew Lloyd Webber's already done.
Maybe.
Pause to this
Maybe
question
we will.
Soon enough. Okay. See, you've made it hard. Good one, Zane.
SpongeBob
SquarePants.
That might be the first time SpongeBob's been killed.
Yeah.
I get it. Especially because you're bringing the band's visit to the show.
I know. They're competing in the same year.
Yeah. And like that's something that we will talk about as we get into the show.
Both of them.
We're about to experience a cat.
Cat related. There we go. Okay. She knows she's not allowed on the table. Everyone, that was my cat Leia. She's now exited stage left. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and tell you all about the band's visit.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, the band's visit. It's quite new.
It's quite new.
It is 2017 is when it made its Broadway, or its off-Broadway.
Practically brand spanking.
Yeah. So before we get into anything else, let us put Becky on the spot, and I'm going to ask you to do a 2-minute plot synopsis.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to time you. I'm going to time you here. You're not going to be able to see it. I'm just going to yell at you if you go over time. So be prepared. Okay. Be prepared for that. Your time starts right now.
Okay, so 8 men of the Alexandrian Ceremonial Police Orchestra, they're from Egypt. They arrive in Israel. They have been booked to play at an Arab center in Petah Tikva, but at the bus stop, there's a miscommunication because Arabic has no P sound and regularly replaces it with a B. They accidentally take a bus to Petah Tikva and stay there the night. And lives change and don't change over the course of the night. And then the next day, they catch a bus back to Petah Tikva and play.
All right. Well, that was 30 seconds. That's so it. Well done.
That's it. So, folks.
Kind of the plot. It's really not that involved the plot.
There's not a lot of plot in the show. It really is kind of a slice of life musical, I guess. It's like,
definitely. Is it played almost in what you might call real time? Or
one night. It's unusual for a musical to just span like one night and kind of one day-ish. You know what I mean?
I would just like to direct your attention to the seminal masterpiece of Rent.
All right.
A controversial topic on this.
Get through an episode without talking about Rent.
So it is very interesting. There's a lot of it's a lot of kind of history and I feel songs in
it's definitely a vibey sort of musical rather than a plot driven musical.
So are you a Yazbek fan in general? Because David Yazbek, music and lyrics for this one.
I am. I think he's so clever. And I think particularly the music he did for this show were just incredibly clever and beautiful. And because it's such an important part of the show, I thought he really hit the nail on the head with music.
So what's a David Yazbek?
So Yazbek is a musician, composer and lyricist. You would know his work from The Full Monty, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown, The Band's Visit, and most recently Tootsie.
Oh my.
Yeah.
That is an interesting array.
Going The Band's Visit to Tootsie.
Not just stories and subject matter, but musical styles as well, right?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of very traditional sounding music in there. So is this his background?
I've just
thrown random things out there. I'm sorry, everybody.
So Yazbek was his father was of Lebanese descent. His mother, half Italian, half Jewish. So he's not from Egypt or anywhere, but he is Jewish and of Lebanese or descent. Mm.
Yeah. Which share a lot of similar historical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Throwing things off the rails right here at the start. You're welcome, everyone.
So what, sell me this show, Becky. Sell it to me. Tell me why you love it.
If you want to see just a beautiful piece of art sort of thing, and you want to see incredible acting and beautiful music, you're definitely signing yourself up for something that feels more like a play than a musical. So it's one of those things where you kind of have to be, I feel like, it's one of those musicals that you have to be in the correct, like, an open mood to meet it in a way. It's not one of those like commercial musicals that you can just go in and just like
have a great time, you know, just rock in and hey, I'm here for a good time.
But, you know, it'd be the equivalent of going to kind of, you know, an Oscar nominated slice of life movie and sitting down to see that. You definitely have to sign yourself up for like not flashy, not in your face, but just really beautiful art. The people who are masters of their craft work on stage.
Yeah, I mean,
it is.
I think we agree. Like, I think the reasons you like this are the reasons that I don't latch onto it is like, this is definitely a play that has become a musical rather than a musical. Yeah.
It's a very successful, would you call it indie film?
Yeah.
Not quite indie, but it came off the film festival circuit and did extremely well. It's the movie itself, and part of what actually I find surprising listening to this is it's all done in this accented English. Mm. And so I was surprised to watch the Israeli film and see that a lot of the film is in accented broken English. Because presumably because that's the common language, between the
two. They have a line about it midway through the musical.
So at first I was confused by it, but then when I realized that, I thought, wow, what a great bold choice.
Yeah.
You know, they could have just sort of ignored that element and told the story of the characters by placing them somewhere different, but they kept all of that. And I think that they had a really good reaction, not just from critics and audience members, but also from the people involved in the production. And I have lost it now, haven't I? Yes, I have. A great quote from a cast member talking about how much he appreciated that. I'm going to find it again.
Is that Ariel Stachel's quote when he won the Tony?
Yes, during his Tony speech, he basically said this is...
He talked about how important it was that as a Middle Eastern person, how important that this show was, and how for a large part of his life he kind of pretended to not be Middle Eastern, and then how incredible it was that this is an entire cast of Middle Eastern people who celebrate who they are, and really powerful.
I found it, and you did an excellent job of breaking it down. For so many years of my life, I pretended I was not a Middle Eastern person. I'm part of a cast of actors who never believed that they would be able to portray their own race, and here we are doing that. And not only that, but we're getting messages from kids all over the Middle East thanking us and telling us how transformative our representation is for them. I want any kid that's watching to know that your biggest obstacle may turn into your purpose. I think that that's a beautiful message that says so much, not just about that particular situation, but also about the message of the show. These people turn up somewhere they were not expected. It was an obstacle in their path, but they created change. They affected people's lives. And
so what you're saying is this musical is,
it's more than
Priscilla,
seems.
Queen of the Desert, set in the Middle East.
Yes.
Okay.
I
will say, because
it's drag queens.
Yes, yeah. An orchestra instead of a traveling drag queen show. The New York Times, our friends, said it's a Broadway rarity, seldom found these days outside the canon of Stephen Sondheim, an honest to God musical for grown ups. Mm-hmm. I think that really sums up where this comes from. Like, this doesn't talk down to the audience. Like,
no, not at all.
It's definitely a musical about adults experiencing adult things. And that is why this musical stuck out in the year that it did, because
against SpongeBob SquarePants,
SpongeBob, Frozen, and Mean Girls. were the other three nominations for Best Musical that year. And I definitely see why this wins.
It's hard to compare them in a way, because the others are built out of kind of a commercial situation, and this one wasn't, in a way.
But I think that's what makes it prime for awards, because it has so much more truth and meaning and purpose than that was a popular movie
and story. Like, this is definitely, it doesn't have a lot of plot, but its characters, all of its characters change throughout, and that's kind of the story. Like, I really appreciate the story of this, and I really enjoy the movie. It's the music in this that I just like. I don't appreciate listening to this musical.
Really?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I've tried maybe 15 times now to kind of like hammer it into myself until it like clicks in my head. Because it has happened times in the past. Like, I really disliked Wicked until I listened to it that one more time, and then I was like, oh no, I get it now.
Something clicked, then you went, oh, I'm in that rhythm.
Yeah, I get it.
The other thing about The Band's Visit is that so much of what makes it special is that they're playing it. I mean, every musical, they play it live in front of you, but they actually have band members. They're part of the people in the band are the actual band members in, like, the actual orchestra members in the thing. And they sit on the side. They're just kind of there throughout the whole show. and start, like, at first they're sitting with everyone and then they kind of sit to the side and play, like, in the soundtrack they have those, like, interludes and stuff, and that is those characters sitting on the side of the stage in front of you wearing their, you know,
their outfit
playing the music. So it feels much more intimate because you can actually watch them doing it rather than just kind of hearing it.
Yeah.
It's a lot like Once in
that, yeah.
The way the musicians are blended into the show and in parts in the storyline. But it also feels a bit come from away to me in the way we see all these different parts of the characters happen to be shoved together kind of thing. So for me, it's somewhere between those two, but I think it has a lot of the same thing as Once that I experienced there as well, in that I really loved all of those moments that were really driven by the energy of the music.
Yeah.
But then we would get these solos where somebody would come in and sing a sad song about their sad feelings and I'd be a lot less engaged. And I think that, again, is a very different experience watching it and being involved in that moment with that actor than listening to a recording of it. So when I listen to a recording of Once, I think, oh, God, these songs are all like same and so boring, except for these exciting musical interludes that pitch in between. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how I feel when I listen to The Band's Visit. But right, I know that when I saw Once on stage, I was completely engaged.
Yeah, yeah.
And
did an emotional investment in these songs.
That's right. And I feel like this show would be exactly the same.
Yeah, so I can definitely see that.
Sorry,
yeah.
I'm defending it to Zane.
And no, that's the thing. Like, I have been saying, please convince me. I get it. I get why it's good. I just have not connected with it the way that, see, everyone, like a lot of other people seem to have. But I mean, that's something we didn't really, like, we didn't go into like a lot of the interactions of the characters. And I think that's probably wise, because there's a lot of toing and froing, but there's a lot of kind of tragedy in their past and them trying to find connections and talk to that. So there is a lot of like people trying to find something, and this kind of this journey into this new place is kind of the catalyst that they're looking for. Either the main the lead Dina, who is kind of like actively looking for change, or whether it is Tufik, who is like having this change thrust upon him.
Sorry, that's the band lead.
The band leader. Tufik Zakaria. Yeah.
And he and Dinah have the strongest interaction that drives through the whole show.
Situation, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
They kind of diverge because the characters split up, and theirs is kind of the strong heartbeat of the show.
Yeah. I just wanted to flag that Tufik was played by Tony Shalhoub.
Yes.
Of Monk fame.
Yes.
Or Spy Kids fame, or
very surprised to hear him sing, but there it was.
There it was.
I read somewhere, I think it was a Playbill article, that said that originally he was very nervous to sing because he didn't expect to sing in a way.
And then
they convinced him and they were very surprised.
Well, look, good on him. Like, it worked. And he won the Tony for it. So,
I mean, but what was he up against? SpongeBob? I don't mean to degrade his winning of the Tony at all. It's a masterful performance.
It was a bit of a, if I will, a weak season.
That season
overall. Like, I think the season before was the Dear Evan Hansen Great Comet season, and then you had this one.
And there was an overall lack of new musicals that season.
Yeah, there was.
A lot of,
there were, I mean, only all of them were adapted from movies, film situations. None of them come from anything other than that.
The three that were up against it for best musical, we already mentioned Frozen, Mean Girls and SpongeBob, but the only other original musicals in that year, Escape to Margaritaville, Prince of Broadway, which I don't even have never, what?
I've had no experience with that
and
either.
And Summer, the Donna Summer musical. So yeah, I don't know that it was a strong year, but I think we can
go on record saying it was a weak year.
It was a weak year, but yeah, I don't think that's a reflection on the quality of The Band's Visit. I think
no,
would have been.
But I think that's why The Band's Visit swept.
Yeah.
Yes.
And instead of just winning.
I was saying worth. Earlier, one of only four musicals in history to have taken out the Big Six. So the Big Six are musical, book, score, actor, actress, and direction.
Who are the other four?
Want to guess the other three?
Gypsy.
Hamilton. Nope, nope, and nope. Okay. South producers, Pacific. Sure. Nope, not the producers. The producers Ooh. Missed really? Out on...
Direction?
No, I feel like it was actor, actress.
Actress.
Perhaps.
He's going to look it up.
I will, yes.
South Pacific, which is a surprise for everybody.
Yeah.
But was also a surprise when we did our South Pacific episode. So I do remember that happening. Sweeney Todd, less of a surprise because fantastic show.
Yeah.
And Hairspray.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all right.
And The Band's Visit.
Band's Visit.
That's the only four who have ever done it. I mean, there obviously have been more that won more than six, but that's that.
Yeah, but not those six awards.
The core Big Six that get presented at the Tonys.
Now, the producers did sweep. However,
Ula
did not classify as an actress.
It had no actress to nominate.
Yeah, it was. She was a featured actress.
Yeah,
got it.
I can understand that.
Yeah,
why that would be in that show.
Fair enough.
So yeah, that's probably there. You go. If you had better female representation, the producers, then you could have been on that list.
Bring on gender bent producers. I will pay for it.
Ooh,
we can.
Yeah, that'd be
it.
Awesome.
So it did get a glowing reception. And in fact, are we ready for bad reviews even though Julie isn't here?
Please, yes.
Let me just find it. Talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. I would like to know, a question that I like to ask on most episodes is, what's your favorite song?
Something different.
Okay. I do like something different as well.
Loved it. And when I went to the Tonys and they did Omar Sharif, I was like, no, you did the wrong song.
That seems to be the one that got picked up for a lot of the promo stuff. And I was like, I get it because she won the Tony. But even before she won the Tony.
Yeah.
There's just so much.
It is a magical piece. But I think Something Different is just absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah. I also have a soft spot for It's Six Lullaby.
It's so beautiful.
But generally for me, I just love all those lively interludes.
Yes.
Because that is that really sells the cultural element for me. Yeah. I know that sounds really crass, but that's what makes it sound really different to any other show. And so that's what pricks my ears up and says, oh, hey, what's that?
The opening number sets it right away.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
music. No introductory song. You just have that music kind of playing as the curtain comes up.
So before we go on.
The concept of an overture, I do love, but it's not actually an overture.
Before we go on to lessons we've learned, do we have
I found it.
The
I found
bad
it.
Review?
Bad reviews without Julie. The reviews, only criticism. So it
was met, glowing.
It met glowing reviews, everybody, even the New York Times. The review's only criticism was that the seating at a far distance in the new theatre made the sound somewhat muddled and the sight lines limited.
So that's more of a comment on the theatre.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
This is what I'm saying. That's the only bad note.
Of the orchestra, and I had perfect sound and perfect viewing. And
there you go.
Well,
we've even disproved that.
Take that, New York Times.
Maybe if you're in the back of like the stands, but I was in the very back of the orchestra and I had no issue.
Nobody puts reviewers in the back. Nobody puts baby in the corner.
Okay. All right. Let's take a quick break with a quick musical interlude and we'll come back with the lessons we've learned from The Band's Visit. So are there any strong, glaring lessons that we have all learned from The Band's Visit? I'm going to throw it to Becky first.
I think to me there are two main ones.
Mm-hmm.
One, because it is a slice of life musical and it takes place over one night where nothing but everything happens at the same time. I think that is particularly relevant in the times that we're living in now, about how life is very much slowed down for everyone pretty much. And that, you know, it's such a beautiful show where they have very ordinary humans go about their lives. They all have very ordinary hopes, dreams, disappointments, and all that. And I think there's something poignant about being fully present in the moment and how, you know, their lives changed profoundly over one night without often, you know, I think the only one who was, yeah, like you said before, the only one who was actively seeking change was Dina. Mm. All the other ones had change kind of happen to them. So I think it's kind of profound that a single night can also change you profoundly, but then also not in the yeah. same way. Mm. So the fact that it's taken from like a slow time and, you know, we're all kind of, I don't know about you guys, but I'm definitely living this situation day by day.
I think we're a little luckier here that, you know, yeah. we can look at it from the outside for a little. For the first
time in the entire history of Brisbane, we can say that Brisbane is actually a better place to be than New York.
Yeah.
Just ever so briefly.
First time in history. But yeah, I think there's something profound about slowing down and really trying to live your day and not necessarily living it to the fullest, but realizing that things can change a lot in one day.
And I think that's a little bit of what you were saying before about how you go into this show. You have to go into this show ready to experience it and accept it and you know, be open. And I think that's sort of the message of the show. If you want change, you have to be open to it and you have to see the opportunities where they are and accept change or something influencing the situation to create change. You know, you could
say that being said, I would like to piggyback on that in a lesson. I think that it definitely puts across through Dina is that like she kind of, when this happens, she decides that this is going to be a catalyst and she decides that this is the story that she's going to live. And it doesn't, spoiler alert, it doesn't end up panning out the way that she wants it to. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it says something about like the story that you think is going to happen is not always the way that life is going to pan out. So take things as they are rather than as you want them to be. So yeah, kind of pay attention to what's actually happening rather than deciding that that's how things are going to happen.
There's a lovely little message on the Band's Visit official site when they talk about what the show is about. And their lesson that they want you to take away from it is even the briefest visit can stay with you forever.
Oh, that's beautiful.
It is nice, isn't
but
it?
Didn't we learn that from Wicked?
Shh. Just because we have learnt the lesson before doesn't mean we that's can't true. Afford to hear it again.
Any other lessons from the Band's Visit?
More shows where the musicians are playing on stage as part of the action, please.
I think that can definitely be a policy of this podcast is we want that.
Just the integration of music in a musical is not an absurd thought. That's sensible.
But
do
then
more
you're,
of it.
Then you're asking a triple threat to be a quadruple threat. It's very difficult.
Well, I think two of the actors who actually play like the instrument, there's the guy who plays the clarinet. He was an actor and is that, but a lot of the others who actually play the instruments don't act as well.
Okay.
You can a little bit of crossover, but not all of it.
A little bit. Maybe only two of the actors also play, you know, their instrument to the caliber of everybody else.
There is, I don't know if
Kufik just conducts and then Ariel Stachel's character plays something like the triangle.
There's another guy that plays the violin and and the what looks like a lute to me, but it's not. It's something else. Maybe it's called a ute. No, that's a car.
But I think the guy who played the lute situation wasn't an actor.
He's a musician, but he does sing. He sings, I'm sure.
Does
he? I don't know.
Either way, not all of them. It's only a couple. Yeah.
You can see a bit of them in action, and I found a really cute thing. I don't know if you've seen this for other shows. The NPR's Music Tiny Desk Concerts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the Band's Visit cast went in. It wasn't the whole cast, but it was most of the musicians, the music director, and a couple of the main cast went in and did a tiny desk concert, which I found was really cute. So if you're interested in that, we'll link it in the show notes. Yeah. But it is a lovely little, they just play, I think, three songs and talk about the show a little bit. So it's a quick, entertaining way to experience it. I know that not everybody can just go out and see it being so new and fresh and in the middle of COVID.
I'm getting it on Broadway right now.
Yeah. So
we're all in the same boat right now.
If that'll do. There's also a Hadestown one, which I thought I would point
out.
Yeah,
that one was very good.
Yeah.
Also, I learned Tony Shalhoub could sing.
Yeah, he can. Yeah.
And apparently he also learned that.
In Arabic.
Yeah.
Not in English.
anything else before we move on to our dream cast?
We touched on it before, but I think representation is also an important kind of lesson to be learned from here, because whilst they're not technically considered BIPOC, because as per census, they're considered white, we all know that they are definitely a marginalized group that often portrayed negatively in news and TV. And, you know, I have a friend who's of, he's Iranian, and one of his he told us that one of his favorite movies is Die Hard because the bad guys are German and not people who look like him, which is often the case.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's beautiful and very, I'm losing the word for it now, but it's important that
it shows,
this show,
it shows those
this
characters.
Show out of the other shows that were nominated that year, that this was the only one that kind of really heroed marginalized people at the time and showed that there really is a space for people who come from a different culture, and even though they're considered white, they, you know, they look different, they have a different culture, and that, you know, a show like that can do well. Like, you know,
I think you've just hit on the big thing there is that it's not just the fact that it's showcasing performers of other nationalities, it's showcasing the cultures of other nationalities. So
it's in the music, it's in the text,
we sometimes treat representation of like just casting an actor in any role, when I think having these stories of other cultures is as important.
Sure. And I mean, like, there are large parts of the show that are completely in Hebrew and Arabic, and there's a moment when they put words on the backdrop because there's a conversation completely spoken in Arabic, and I actually have the play.
Someone brought their script to the table
bookstore, and I loved it, and but they actually translate in this script any of the Hebrew that's and Arabic that's said, which is cool. It's unnecessary. You get it from watching, but I guess from reading it, you wouldn't necessarily understand what's going on. But there are whole portions of it that aren't spoken in English, yet you're fully taken on this journey.
Yeah. I don't think SpongeBob SquarePants had that in their show.
Oh, look, SpongeBob.
I can confirm that.
SpongeBob had a lot of messages. I don't think that was one of them.
No. A lot of other things, I'll be honest.
So
I don't think sponges get enough cultural representation in mainstream Broadway.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be back with our dream cast that may or may not include sponges.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, so just before anyone else says it, let's just cast this show with the cast of characters from SpongeBob SquarePants.
Right. Well, I don't think I can do it.
I
don't have enough frame of reference for that. Is Zac allowed to be in this show?
Zac shouldn't have to be in every show.
Zac Efron has to be in every show.
He could be, if he had to be anyone, he could be telephone guy.
There you go.
Okay, he can, fine. He can be telephone guy.
He had
guy.
To include him. He could be telephone guy.
Becky says, I can have him as telephone guy.
Yeah,
and I'm taking it.
If Becky says it, I'll allow it because I've been picking on Becky.
Humor there.
Yeah.
His character doesn't speak in English.
It's fine. He can do it. He can do anything. He is the Efron.
Now, I want to say that this is a particularly dim dark spot in my knowledge of Broadway actors and performers and even just actors in general.
I'm embarrassed to say ditto.
So yeah. Becky, yeah. I was hoping to kind of throw to you or for Dreamcast.
No, honestly, my Dreamcast is the original cast. They were perfect.
I was going to say, from what I saw, particularly Dina and Tufik were wonderful. I've only seen kind of recordings of them, but yeah, they were particularly wonderful in those roles. And I think we can. I mean, we always do kind of tend towards like unless they're playing an archetype or a stereotype character, we want to see new people, new unknown people in these roles.
And what I thought was really cool was that when Tony Shalhoub left the show, the guy who played Tufik in the movie came and did the show.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
That's so cute. But he was recognized, like I recognized him. He must be in things that I have seen, the guy from the movie.
Okay. I mean, he's a lot less known than Tony Shalhoub, let's be real.
Can I just, I have put something in my search here on the Google platform.
Yes.
Which I'm ashamed of, but it's happened. And Terry Hatcher came up as an actor of Middle Eastern descent.
Okay.
Do we trust Google that is an accurate...
Perhaps she is Jewish?
Terry Hatcher.
Who is that?
Tony Shalhoub also came up, by the way.
Who's
Terry Hatcher?
Becky's very young.
Oh.
So I think the latest thing she's been in would be Desperate Housewives, right?
Yes, probably.
Yes. That's why I don't know her.
But in my generation, she's very well known for playing Lois Lane in the...
New Adventures of Superman Lois Lane. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we'll just say, yeah, showcase more I guess more Middle Eastern performers, please.
Mm-hmm.
And we will play another piece of music and come back with our top five lists. Okay, so top fives. Where would you put this on which top five list would you put this, Becky?
I would go if you want to see really good acting in a musical.
Okay.
Is there a list for that? Like so best acting in a musical?
Top five shows for actors.
Acting in a musical.
Actory actors.
Yeah. So yeah. Top five musicals for actors with a capital A and an exclamation mark.
Actors.
Just because it's such a character-driven show that the acting needed to be incredible for the story to actually carry. Otherwise, you don't have a story.
Absolutely. I would also put this top five slice of life musicals.
Oh, yeah.
I can't actually think of any others. I know that there are some, but definitely I think this is a great example of what a slice of life musical can and possibly should be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to put top five Tony Shalhoub roles because looking through his career...
In musical theatre specifically?
No, in everything. So I would put maybe Marvelous Miss Maisel above this, but then this. Because he's done a lot. Not a lot of it appeals specifically to me. So not specifically. But yeah, I think Tony Shalhoub was a big surprise for me in this.
Yeah.
Do you have any top fives, Miranda?
Top five actors playing instrument shows.
Yes.
Yep.
Or in integrated bands on stage shows. I don't know how to word it, but you know what I mean. And it's in the top five.
It's like more live orchestras.
Live orchestras.
In a way.
Orchestras
you can see.
I would say part of the show. Top five distinctive cultural representations for Broadway. We don't see a lot of that.
I can't even fill out the rest of that top five list. So, yes.
Fiddler on the Roof.
I mean.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Miss Saigon.
Yes, that's a shaky
like
one.
They've, yeah. That's the thing. Most usually we see.
Holler If You Hear Me, I heard, was very.
Holler If You Hear Me was really good, but that wasn't like a very American show. So he was definitely displaying like BIPOC culture, but it was still very American.
But still, it's like I'm talking about that an authentic cultural experience.
Horror of Hemi would definitely,
which I think that would maybe in the Heights in would be in that similar area. Yeah. But yeah, we don't really see that very often.
Can we say
rarity?
Top five musicals set outside of the Western Hemisphere.
Oof.
Sure.
I mean, there are a lot set outside of the Western
Hemisphere. But again, like so many extra points for being somewhat authentic.
Authentic and responsible.
Because then you start going to like King and I.
Yeah, the King and I.
Cool. Like, well.
They're not very authentic cultural representations. No. Yes. So,
other top fives?
I would venture most interesting music.
Okay. I'm not going to disallow it. I want to know what else is on that list for you. Like what to give us a feel of like what you mean by interesting music.
Great Comet.
Okay. Yep.
Sorry, all I'm thinking is The Adding Machine. Interesting is the word.
Interesting is the word if you don't want to say bad.
But just something that's not your standard, like, cut and dry, this is a musical sounding show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Musicals have a very specific sound, and I think this is not one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
I don't think that has a lot to do with kind of, that orchestration.
Like, your patter song, and you have kind of your big, you know, 11 o'clock number songs, but they don't sound like your typical ones.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Top four, in fact, winners of the Big Six.
All right, top four best original musicals of 2016.
17.
You're wrong. I think we might have exhausted the top fives.
I think so.
There's
so,
some strong ones in there, though.
Absolutely. And,
you know, it definitely sits at the top of those lists.
And if you're listening to this, please contribute your own. I particularly would be interested to hear everyone's top five most interesting music lists. I think that that's a really interesting list and is very subjective. So I look forward to seeing that on our socials. Now, of course, Becky, you're not in anything right now other than quarantine.
A musical.
So give it a couple of years.
Yeah, not even.
But we will put your socials in there. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know about, where they can find you or anything?
Nope, just I only have an Instagram.
Okay, well, we'll put a link to that if you would like us to. If you want to find out more about us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or on Instagram. You can find us at our website, thatsnotcanon.com/MTMEIK. You can send us an email at musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. Just want to give a shout out to the people who have been writing in particular, Kevin Werner.
Hey, Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin is actually writing a musical at the moment, and that's very interesting. We've been chatting backwards and forth about that.
Oh, wow. What's it about? Too early.
Okay. I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to announce anything that Kevin hasn't announced to the world. Musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to help us out, you can do that by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or on Podchaser or anywhere that will let you do that.
Or even just send an episode to a friend. Just be like, hey, remember how we had that conversation about the band's visit and neither of us knew anything about it? Listen to this.
Or do you remember that time?
The band's visit. And why did it win so many Tony Awards?
Remember that time when we did musicals? Let's reminisce about that. or you can become a patron at our Patreon at patreon.com/musicalstaughtme everything I know. There you get bonus episodes every month. And if we get 1,000, I will dance the Necronomicon.
He said it himself without prompting.
I won't be doing it in spandex. I will be doing it in makeup. You can add a lot of things on there, but I will dance the Necronomicon in makeup and that will be 1,000. We are still, you know, a distance away from that. So I'm feeling pretty confident about my ability to never have to do that.
Prove him wrong.
Prove me wrong. Thank you very much for joining us, Becky. It's been very great talking about
it. It was lovely to meet you. And I would just like to say it's been a pleasure to watch not only your beautiful face on our Zoom meeting here, plug to Zoom, send us some money, but also you have a whole wall of, yeah, are they playbills? Oh my gosh.
They're all the shows that I've managed to see here while I'm here.
There's your New York few. Privilege is showing, Becky.
When you have cheap tickets for like $40, you don't have an excuse to not go.
Look, I agree, and I'm speaking purely out of jealousy.
I was supposed to have three more that I was supposed to see, like literally Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Broadway shut down on Thursday. I was like, no!
Tickets well,
for literally Friday, Saturday, Sunday for three different shows.
I am sure Broadway will come back and you will get to see more shows. Until then, thank you for speaking to us and come back again sometime. And we'll catch up about how New York is doing some other time.
we'll check
maybe
in after you,
our shows again.
After you go to the next Tonys, we'll check in. Yeah.
Oof, I don't know when that's going to be.
Well, they're going to be virtual online. So in fact, we'll all be able to see them. No one has to sleep on the street for tickets.
I bet they'll still make people do it though.
Sleep on the street for no reason.
You only get the Zoom link if you sleep on the street.
Just for the prestige of it, you know. You have to suffer for your Tony tickets.
Yeah, that's true. That's
only
true.
If you're a student. Every other fancy pants got to just buy them. But us students, we had to line up.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Becky. Thank you for hosting with me again today, Miranda.
Thank you, Zane.
And thank you all for listening. We'll be back same time next week with more talk about musicals and the lessons they teach.
And more hosts.
And more hosts. Thank you, Becky, and see you all later. Bye.
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 Hey there. I'm Parker, host of Misfigured Life. Misfigured Life is an educational podcast that respects your time and absolutely nothing else. Realistic steps to accomplish projects and tasks explained like you're just a little bit special and in less time than it takes other shows to even get to the point. It covers wildly varying topics from robbing a bank to tending a garden and everything in between. Stop ignoring the background banter podcasts and learn something you could actually use. At least one new episode a week, which day specifically will be a surprise every week. Probably subscribe or something.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.